Signs of the Times, June 2, 1881, or Volume 1, Signs of the Times, page 231, column 2, and paragraph 3. It says there, quote, "By their disregard of God's command, the Israelites had woven for themselves a net in which their feet were soon entangled. Ere long, many of the Hebrews were induced to attend heathen festivals. Lascivious songs and licentious indulgence formed a prominent part in the idolatrous worship. Exposed to these contaminating influences, the Israel of God steadily became corrupted." And here comes the important sentence. Not that the others aren't important, but this one. Quote, "In imitation of the gods of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land." End quote. Now, I don't expect you to get it the first time you read it. But you should, even when you hear it, it's even harder. That you need to see it with your own eyes. It's an extremely simple and beautiful quote defining for us what idolatry is. Let me read the exact words again in the last sentence of that paragraph. Quote, "In imitation of the gods," with a small g, "of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land," end quote. Isn't that simple? Notice the definition of idolatry here. When we make images to represent Jehovah, that is idolatry. "Thus saith the Lord," June 2nd, 1881, Signs of the Times, or 1 Signs of the Times, page 231. Quote, "In imitation of the gods of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land," end quote. Isn't it? How simple can it possibly get? Here's another one of those clear statements telling us what idolatry is. I'll just read it again because it's so simple and it's so clear. You want me to read the entire paragraph again? I'll read the entire paragraph again slowly, because so that we all have it in context. What's going on here is that the children of Israel were already in the promised land under Joshua, if you read the whole article. And while they were in the promised land, they were adduced to attend heathen festivals. After Joshua had died. And they were induced to attend heathen festivals. They participated in these idolatrous worships. And they were exposed to these contaminating influences, and the Israel of God became corrupted, right in accordance then with what we know from Deuteronomy 4, 12 through 18, right? The word corrupted is the key word there that links us back to the warnings about not making similitudes of God from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 12 through 18, because they corrupt us. Now let me read the whole thing then. You got the background. Let me read the paragraph again, and without stopping, I'll go right into this very last sentence that comes right after the word corrupted. The very last sentence is the one that tells us what idolatry is then and is now. Quote, "By their disregard of God's command, the Israelites had woven for themselves a net in which their feet were soon entangled. Ere long, many of the Hebrews were induced to attend heathen festivals. Lascivious songs and licentious indulgence formed a prominent part in the idolatrous worship. Exposed to these contaminating influences, the Israel of God steadily became corrupted. In imitation of the gods of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land," end quote. Anybody have anything to say? Pardon? Amen. I do too. I wouldn't have found it had God... Yes, this is the one I found about a month ago and marked it in my book and was all excited about it and being 58 years old and dumb, finite man that I am, it wasn't until this morning again I started looking through my books and I said, you know that quote, I remember that quote, what was that quote? And I started, I looked it up again. And I was, yes, Signs of the Times, June 2nd, 1881, or One Signs of the Times, Volume 1, Signs of the Times, page 231. And it's in column 2 and paragraph 3. And I'm just going to read that last sentence again that defines what idolatry is, because it is so clear. It could only be Satan himself could make this one a mistake on this one. Only Satan himself could mess it up. But believe me, when you hold this forth to the impenitent heathen, be they Babylonian or Laodicean, they will, in their impenitence, disregard it. But we don't have to consider that right for this moment. For our edification, it's strengthening and encouraging because it is so very clear, and I praise God for it. Let me read it again. It says here, and I'll read it one more time, quote, in imitation of the gods of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land. The very next sentence I'll read on, it says, the evil made little headway until a generation was extinct which had made the covenant with God, but the parents had prepared the way for the apostasy of their children. God's commandments had been disregarded, his safeguards removed, his barriers broken down. The correct and simple habits of the Hebrews had preserved them in physical health, but association with the heathen had led to the indulgence of appetite and sensual passions, and this had lessened physical strength and enfeebled the mental and moral powers. See, it just goes on. It does not change at all this beautiful sentence for us again that defines idolatry. In imitation of the gods of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land. End quote. It's so simple, so very simple. And when we realize that gods are the same thing as idols, according to 1 Chronicles 16:26, and we realize Ezekiel 20:16 that God's Sabbath is polluted by idols, and brothers and sisters, that is the test today, just as it was in the test for Israel of old. Are they going to... Sabbath is a test for Seventh-day Adventists today. And most of them, the test is escaping them completely because they have no idea of the truth of idolatry. And they're Sabbath polluting with idols. And I don't say this happily. I am not happy about it at all. I've been searching myself, praying to God and trying to figure out for 27 years how to get this across to people who profess to be Adventists. The study that I sent out to yesterday, that the Sabbath as a test, even for Seventh-day Adventists, this shows exactly the fact how it is a test. I might have to revise that study and put this quote in it because I don't have it in it. But I could send it out to you all again in a revised version. At least you can see the simple, even as you get it, this study that I sent out yesterday, even as it is, it should be enough. And yet this quote here is just more. And there's other quotes that I couldn't put in that study from yesterday. I don't have Deuteronomy 4 in there or Romans 1. I don't have Isaiah 40 in there. You just don't. And Ellen White tells us not to put everything into a study all at once. It's like a banquet and people can't digest it all. But this quote is so beautiful. It makes me think of when people look then in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they see that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. I see the enemy deceiving us so extensively that instead of recognizing what it says in Exodus 20 in the second commandment and Deuteronomy 4 and Romans 1 and elsewhere, Acts 17, 29 and 30, instead of accepting that and accepting this is a part of God's kingdom, this is how he wants things to be done in his worship, no such images, man comes along and they want the opposite kingdom, just like the Jews at the first coming. And they go ahead and make an image of the heavenly dove, using as a representative an earthly dove, a winged fowl that flieth in the air, a bird, exactly corrupted by sin, by the way. When they make a picture of an earthly dove, that's a dove that is corrupted by sin, because everything on this planet is corrupted by sin. And they say that that represents the heavenly dove, a dove-like form of purest light. No wonder God says to make an image of God dishonors him. I'll just read that quote one more time. And remember from Three Review and Herald before that, I read page 511, that the Holy Spirit doesn't appear in human form. Then isn't it absurd and supreme nonsense that by the art of man, we make him appear in the form of an earthly bird, in animal form? He won't appear to us in human form, but we make him appear by our art as an animal, in animal form, in a corrupt, sinful animal form. What nonsense. It makes me think of us just as God describes us, as grasshoppers. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, when God tries to explain how man have lost their conception of God. I'll share this one more time and then I'm through, it says. It says, again, it's Signs of the Times, June 2nd, 1881, or One Signs of the Times, 231. Anybody who can read English, anybody who's got a book, anybody who's got the disc can look this up and see it for themselves and choose which kingdom they want. They want God's kingdom, or do they want the opposite kingdom? This is God's kingdom. Quote, in imitation of the gods of the heathen, images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land. End quote. And I won't read it again, but I could read that thing a dozen times. You can imagine. It's a keeper. Yes, yeah. It's a keeper. You can imagine how excited I was. You're just reading. You're reading along in the spirit of prophecy, and you read maybe 10 or 12 sermons by Ellen White, and you're reading along, and they're fine, and all of a sudden you read this one paragraph and then this one sentence at the end. And I just said something like, Eureka! And I went running into Janie, and I said, look at this! Look at this! Can you believe this is set here all this time? Look at this! How simple this is! Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Yes,
that's right.
Like a golden nugget.
Yes, this is hidden treasure. Yes, Diane.
Amen. 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 It makes me wonder what else is out there and needs to be dug up. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just close on this thought, and it's not, I don't want to be, quote, negative. I just want to identify the problem here. Would you turn in your Bibles? We know then we're not supposed to make images of God, let alone the Holy Spirit, like a common bird. If you turn in your Bibles, this explains why it's being done. And then we should help us understand why it's being done. If you go to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. I'm just going to close on two quotes here that explain why people are doing this. Well, there's a lot of explanations on it, but these two quotes help explain it. There's the fact that people have gone into heathenism, which is exactly what the Jews did. History's repeating. But there's this explanation of why it's being done also. If you turn to John chapter 14, you want to make a note for yourself, you can make this note. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, and 7 Bible Commentary, 959, column 2, paragraph 1. Okay, first let me read John 14, verses 15 through 17, and you'll see it. Quote, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwell with you, and ye shall and shall be in you. Why can't the world receive the Holy Spirit? Tells us right here in verse 17. Why can't the world receive the Holy Spirit? Anybody? He's not visible. Notice what it says here. The world cannot receive because it seeth him not. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, the true Holy Spirit, because it seeth him not. But they receive a counterfeit spirit. And if you look sometime in your book, The Two Hyslops, which, by the way, Adventist authors used to quote all the time. Adventist authors, The Two Hyslops, here's an example. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hyslop. This is quoted frequently in historical Adventism. I just have an example of one time. It's from Volume 2, Signs of the Times, page 35. You look there and you'll see an article called The Origin of Lent by the Adventist C.A.S. Temple. Matter of fact, I have a book of his, and I found this article of him in the Signs of the Times, the complete article. Volume 2, Signs of the Times, page 35, or Signs of the Times, April 22nd, 1886. And he quotes from the Two Babylons repeatedly throughout this article. He quotes from Two Babylons, page 169, Hyslop in the Two Babylons, page 170. He talks about Bacchus being the false Messiah. He quotes from Hyslop, Two Babylons, page 172. He calls Easter pagan. He has this sentence, this statement. He quotes repeatedly from the Two Babylons, page 171 and 172. You can read the whole article. He says, her presence, incessate zeal for pagan feasts of Saturn and the old Greco-Roman aphrodisia under their specious but deceitful aliases, Christmas and Easter, often celebrating them with a hundredfold more interest, more passionate ardor than she bestows upon the legitimate observance of any true Christian ordinance, as already bringing forth its inevitable fruit. He calls Christmas and Easter pagan feasts of Saturn, and he says they have deceitful aliases, Christmas and Easter. Okay, and he quotes repeatedly here from the Two Babylons. Well, if you look in Two Babylons, Adventists used to use this book a lot. Adventist evangelists used to carry it around in evangelism with them. Now you can hardly dare quote from it, but I don't abide by that, and neither do you. Semiramis, the counterfeit unholy spirit or Satan's power, was symbolized by, guess what? What kind of a bird? The dove image, an earthly dove. Surprise, surprise, surprise. We have the quote from Sixth Bible Commentary 1106, Satan gives his power, in other words, his spirit, to those who are aiding him in his deceptions. And we have Four Testimonies 87, aiding the enemy, the term lukewarm applies to this class. So clearly, they're going to be operating under Satan's power. And besides Easter being her holiday, the counterfeit unholy spirit, Semiramis, her holiday was Easter, as is shown in the book Hyslop on page 103 through 113. Hyslop also shows that the counterfeit holy spirit of heathenism is symbolized by a dove image, and I can give you the pages. This is shown on pages 18, page 51, page 78 through 82, paragraph 1, page 111, page 126, page 141 through 144, page 307, paragraph 2 through 309, paragraph 1, and page 309 through page 310, paragraph 1. If you look at all this there in hyssop, you'll see that the counterfeit unholy spirit of heathenism was symbolized by an earthly dove image. No mistake about it. So it's not surprising then when we combine that with John chapter 14, verse 17, where it tells us, even the spirit of truth, whom the world, and the world is heathen, brothers and sisters, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. They can't receive the true Holy Spirit because they can't see him. So what do? They make an image of an earthly dove. That's what heathenism's all about, so that they can see it. Now they have their Holy Spirit. It's visible to them. This is interesting to me because in the heathen churches of the Babylonians, of Protestantism, in their Sunday-keeping churches, as well as in the heathen church of Rome, as well as in the heathen church of the Laodiceans, they all have a visible earthly dove image. And it just signifies the fact of the kingdom that they want to have established is opposite of the kingdom of God, even on this issue, as well as many other issues. They do not accept the fact that making an image of Jehovah is already idolatry, as we read from 1 Signs of the Times 2:31. Images were made to represent Jehovah, and thus idolatry spread like a plague throughout the land. They do not accept that teaching from God's kingdom. They want an opposite kingdom. They cannot accept the true Holy Spirit or His kingdom because they cannot see Him. So they set up a Holy Spirit they can see. And history shows us that this visible Holy Spirit, this earthly dove image, is a symbol of the counterfeit unholy spirit of heathenism, of Satan's power or spirit. Now why then would we see it besides the fact that Laodiceans are heathen? Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899. Why would we see these visible dove images all over the place in the lukewarm church of the Laodiceans? Remember, in conjunction with John 14, 17, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it seeth him not. Well, 7 Bible Commentary 959 gives us the other answer, where it tells us, quote, "The message to the church of the Laodiceans applies especially to the people of God today. It is a message to professing Christians who've become so much like the world that no difference can be seen," end quote. And this is a fulfillment of this testimony right here. When you look around you in the churches of the Laodiceans and you see visible images of the Holy Spirit in the form of an earthly dove, this testimony is bearing witness to you right on the spot. The church of the Laodiceans have become so much like the world, no difference can be seen. And the world cannot accept the true Holy Spirit because it cannot see him. So they make an image of him themselves out of an earthly dove. John 14, verses 15 through 17, 7 Bible Commentary, 959, Column 2, Paragraph 1. Well, thank you for coming to worship for today. I hope that helps us understand and be strengthened and encouraged, because we want to have the kingdom that God came to establish without Sabbath polluting with idols. We don't want to fall for the mistake of having an opposite kingdom. But when we look around us today, we see all these opposites taking place. There's many, many, many of them. We pointed out a number of them today in the chapter. We should not be discouraged by it. When we realize that God has warned us that the trials and attitudes of are the same, and when we remember what it says in Desire of Ages, page 111, the kingdom he came to establish was the opposite of that which the Jews desired. History is repeating. The trials and attitudes are the same. Thank you for coming to worship, and thank you for your participation. Should we kneel for prayer, brothers and sisters, and close our worship? And next week we'll continue on in our study of the life of Christ. Father, we come to you this morning in closing our worship service, thinking about the truth that we've read in your word today. We claim the promise of John 16:13. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Father, we ask for this Spirit to keep on guiding us and helping us to draw deeply from your fountain of truth and to sink our understanding into deep channels that we might understand it, that we might be sanctified by it. As we consider the trial that you went through in trying to establish your kingdom among the chosen people at the first advent, and how they wanted an opposite kingdom, we come before you and claim this last promise today as we try to establish your kingdom in our own faulty lives and try to share with others what you show us. We claim John 8 and verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, we claim these promises in the name of Jesus and no other name, as we come before you by faith, and we ask that you be with us throughout this next week, each and every one of us. We ask for your abiding presence. We pray that you go 3 days' journey in advance of us this week and prepare our comings and goings. Amen. We ask for the safety of your presence, like a cloud of presence during the day and like a pillar of fire at night. Though we may not be able to see these things, Lord, by faith, let us accept the fact that you're there. Amen. And just as these symbols were in ancient Israel, you prepare our comings and goings, that we might draw safely to our destinations. We ask these things, coming before you again by faith, and in the name of Jesus, laying this petition before you, at your feet, in the throne above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you. Thank you all for coming to worship today, and thank you for your participation. I am very happy every week and amazed at how the parallel just keeps growing and how it can be strengthening to us. It can make us strong like a rock, to be unmoved by the challenges and by the criticisms of those who want the other, the opposite kingdom. It can help us stand just like a rock when we realize that all of this has happened before. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you for your fellowship. I ask that we keep praying for each other throughout this week, and I hope to see you on Wednesday and next Sabbath. Goodbye for now. Have a happy Sabbath. Goodbye.